following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of News Talk 600 and 100.3 WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the Van Wee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
It's Saturday morning on the First Coast. It's 10 o'clock and that can only mean one thing. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we will be here with the lines open for the entire hour. We hope you can join us. You'll be hearing some news throughout the show about what's left of Erica, and it seems to be sort of fading away. So it looks like our role that we've been on in the state of Florida for the last 10 years or so is going to continue. And that is indeed good news, because some of the places, like where I was this week in Tampa, have had enough rain to last for months and months, and for a while this thing looked like it was going to go right over top of them. So good for them, I say. Anyway, for those of you who are our regulars, thanks for coming back. We really appreciate you listening. For those of you who are new and have heard about the show or are driving by, something like that, we hope you can stick around. We have a lot of fun. You might learn a few things. And I do want to remind everybody that not all financial radio shows are created equal. Most of them are pre-recorded, and you get to hear exactly one thing, and that is what the radio show person wants to tell you. And sometimes you get to hear it more than once. Here, you want to take some editorial control, you go ahead and do it by calling us at 222-TALK. It's 904-222-TALK or 8524. Now, 8255. I'm sorry, 8255. Yeah. I'm thinking about a different number for a different reason. 8255. 222-TALK. As you probably know, we are mostly financial around here, and we do have day jobs and so on. And our day jobs are that we manage money for a whole bunch of people. And sometimes it's the most mundane job in the world, and sometimes it's not.
Yeah, this week it was not.
Yes. Yeah. I call this week in the market a tale of two markets. A quick number before Adam takes over. A couple of them. Monday, Dow was down 588 from an already low point. Tuesday was minus 204.91. How'd the week wind up? Pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah. Explain that if you can.
Well, this week really had it all. We had drama, intrigue, market crashes and rallies, sectors that came back from the dead, flash crashes, and the return of volatility, and I could go on, but basically, if you name it, it probably happened in the markets this week. It all started Monday morning, which saw the Dow absolutely plunge on the open. It looked to be a free fall without an end, but finally we did find an end at down about 1,089 points, which, ouch, that was a little scary.
But that was way beyond a little scary.
But then the market suddenly turned and headed back up. So despite all this, that going on, bonds and gold were also selling off at the same time. So there really was no safe haven on Monday, at least Monday morning. Volatility hit a post-recession high on Monday, rising over 100% at Monday's peak, which is not unheard of, but pretty rare.
It's rare.
Yeah. Well, Monday was a tough day. Tuesday may have been psychologically even harder, because the market actually opened up much higher, only to crash in the last hour of trading. So everyone kind of lost confidence that we thought there was a rally, and then the end of the day just wiped it out. And going into Wednesday, people were very scared. However, the markets did pretty well on Wednesday and Thursday, and then basically traded flat on Friday. So the Dow ended the week up 1.1%. The NASDAQ up 2.6%, and the S&P up 0.9%. For the month, all three are still down over 5%, and for the year, only the NASDAQ is positive. I went back and looked at the highest close of the year for all three and calculated the drop from that point. So the Dow hit on May 19th its high point, and it's off 9.1% from there. The NASDAQ hit its high on June 23rd, and it's off 6.4%. And then the S&P, it was May 21st, and it's down 6.7% from that point. So still not as bad as it could have been based on what happened on Monday, but still not a great year so far.
That is true. And something that in the last week, I've had an awful lot of comments on a thing that I did called Then and Now. I was comparing what's going on in our country and around the world from October 9th of 2007 when the so-called financial crisis hit. And it was so popular and I think meaningful that I decided I want to do it again. So I'm going to give you a little look at Then and Now. Then, starting October of 07 and lasting about 18 months, financial institutions are declared insolvent. Banks are failing stress tests. The prime money market threatens to break the buck. There's an emergency Fed meeting. Rates were lowered from 6.25 to 0.5 over 18 months. Financial firms were teetering on bankruptcy. Lehman Brothers shut the door. An emergency meeting with the president, the Fed chairman, and Treasury Secretary was held to discuss a bailout. Some companies were deemed too big to fail and were bailed out with taxpayer money. Oil hit $147 a barrel. Gasoline topped $4 a gallon. Automobile companies nearly went bankrupt, required a bailout, got it, and went bankrupt. Cash for clunkers, remember that? Caused the used car prices to go way up because we were destroying old cars. Congress passed an emergency stimulus bill for nearly $1 trillion, all of which was borrowed. Shovel-ready jobs were shown that they weren't shovel-ready after all. Home mortgages were underwater. Credit default swaps skyrocketed. The CMOs fell apart. Layoffs approached records as the unemployment rate skyrocketed over 10%. The president deferred to the president-elect for guidance through the crisis. 150 years of corporate law were upended when bondholders were stiffed in favor of unions, and the stock market was down 55% over 18 months. Here's now. China growth slows from 7% to 5%. The Fed might raise interest rates from 0 to 0.25 next month, but I doubt it. And oil fell below 40 before ticking up a little bit this week. It doesn't sound the same to me.
No, it's absolutely not the same at all.
You believe in what happened with oil this week?
No, I think it's a false rally. The underlying fundamentals for the oil market just don't support what happened this week. If you didn't see oil and big oil stocks rose about 15% off their lows earlier in this week, and there's really nothing to support it. Inventories haven't come down. I just don't buy into the rally yet.
I'm with you on that. I looked at it very carefully yesterday, and I could not force myself to pull the trigger on getting back in because I've been out waiting for some kind of a bottom. It did go down under 39, but I don't think this 45 mark is going to hold either. We'll see. I'll let you know next week, I guess. Anyway, our trivia question brought to you by First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. For you younger folks out there, this one's aimed at you. How much money does the average 40-year-old male in this country have put away for retirement? And I'm going to tell you right now, it is completely and utterly underwhelming.
Yeah, I agree.
And I've got a couple of statistics that'll back that up right after the break. So don't go away. We will see you on the other side.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. For example, if you have a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you're going to end up paying over $400,000 after interest. That's almost $250,000 that you could be putting into your pocket instead of the bank's. I want to send you a powerful free CD to show you how. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. That's right, no credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. It's easy. It works.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
Stop getting robbed of your money and your future. Call now and I'll rush you a free CD today.
call 1-800-933-0939. For your free CD, call 1-800-933-0939. That's 1-800-933-0939.
Homeowners, now is the season to be thinking about your roof, because all it takes is one storm to turn a small roof problem into a major leak. If it's time for a new roof, get your roofing installed the right way with Sears. Call Sears for a free in-home consultation. Sears licensed, fully insured contractors can get your roofing job done right. You'll get reliable service and installation. And Sears has a variety of shingles and styles that are built for long-lasting performance. So if you need a new roof, don't wait till the next storm. Call Sears Roofing for a free in-home consultation. Call 1-888-990-2233. That's 1-888-990-2233. Not available in all areas. Installation provided by Sears Authorized Licensed Contractors. License information available upon request. That's Sears Roofing. Call right now. 1-888-990-2233. 1-888-990-2233. Sears.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here with the lines open, 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Got it right that time. Area code is 904. And we have a lot of things to talk about. But if you would rather talk about what you want to talk about, just give us a call anytime during the show, and we'll be happy to discuss it. Meanwhile, speaking of a really weird week that went by, we saw a phenomenon that I have never witnessed before, except on a very broad sense, and there is a really good underlying message here for people who are investors, and Adam will tell you all about it.
Yeah, it was a really interesting thing that happened on Monday, a little bit scary. It has actually happened before. I've never watched it happen live like we did this week, but on Monday, something happened that everything was crashing at the open. So the market, like I mentioned, was down 1,089 points. And we were watching a couple of ETFs that we own for our clients drop substantially more than their underlying holdings, which should not happen. However, what happened was that the sell orders for the ETFs were rolling in faster than the market makers could actually buy those individual shares up from the market, keeping the price relatively stable. So there were one in particular called PBJ that we've mentioned a few weeks ago on the radio. It is a food and beverage ETF. It's quite small. It's only got about $200 million in assets in ETF world. That's a small ETF. It actually was trading down 40% as we were looking at it. And
we're too scared to do anything about it.
Because it just didn't make sense. I started digging into the underlying holdings. Nothing that they own was down anywhere near 40%. I think the worst one was 10% or so. And it just didn't add up. So as I was doing the research on it to figure out what was going on, I watched it tick back up all in the course of about 30 minutes. So I actually called PowerShares, which was the company that runs the ETF, and they told me that it was a liquidity issue at the exchange. They were mainly worried that I had placed trades in it that had not gone through or had gone through at these really low prices, and they instructed me to call the exchange and have the trades canceled if that was possible.
Yeah, but so if it happened to anybody out there on any ETF, try that. Get a hold of the exchange and see if they won't make you make, at least not, if not whole, at least make up some of the difference.
Yeah, if you did get caught up in that, which hopefully you didn't, we did not. We didn't place any trades during that time. Of course, looking in hindsight, I wish I had bought.
Yeah, I wish we had placed some trades in our own account.
Exactly.
And they'd be buys.
But it wasn't only the small ETFs that were hit by this phenomenon. SPY, which is the largest, most liquid ETF in the world, it tracks the S&P 500. It diverged from its underlying value by 2.5%, which doesn't sound like a lot. Except that when you multiply that by the fact that it has billions in assets, it's quite a big number that was an error in trading, basically.
Yeah, basically an arbitrage.
Yeah.
When you see something that has what I call noise in its pricing. An ETF will generally trade just about right at its NAV or net asset value, which only means you add up everything in it, and that's the price. So you're not getting a bargain. You're just getting a fair whatever those market values are at any given time. And it diverges from that, creating what looks like an arbitrage moment. And we missed it.
Yeah, we did. Darn it. We just got a little bit scared by a phenomenon that you don't see very often.
But that's not the lesson for you folks who have ETFs. Adam will give you the lesson on this. And it has to do not with what happens during this time. It's how you have it set up that really matters.
Definitely. And the other one that I wanted to mention was RSP, which is an equal weighted S&P 500 ETF. It actually fell 43% at one point and also recovered in about 30 minutes. And the S&P was down about 10% during that time. So that's a 33% divergence from its NAV, which is huge.
No kidding.
So the lessons, one major lesson from this is don't keep stop losses on ETFs. You would have been burned on Monday. Yep. They would have sold out at a value much lower than wherever you placed that stop loss, and you would have lost a ton of money. And there's no guarantee that you can get it back from the exchange. You can ask, like I was instructed to do, but it's not a guarantee. And also, don't invest on panic, fear, or greed. Invest for the right reasons, not the wrong reasons.
And the right time frame, too. Long.
Exactly. And also, we learned that liquidity can actually be an issue for ETFs, although it's very infrequent. It doesn't scare me from investing, but it's something to keep in mind.
Yeah, it's funny because one of the things we like about ETFs is that you can trade them on the moment. Unlike a right. mutual fund that you can only trade after hours, if you wanted to get out during a time like this, you have to wait till the day is over and they value the thing. Well, in this case, that might have worked for you.
Yeah, it could have. But you don't know when you place that trade midday what the mutual fund's going to close at, whereas with an ETF, you know within a little bit of a spread where it's going to trade most times. And lastly, my biggest lesson is next time I see an ETF I like down 40%, I'm buying.
No kidding. Worry about the consequences later.
No kidding.
And there's another little lesson in there, too. There's another kind of order. Most people know about stop-loss orders. All that means is if a price of whatever it is you've got the order in on, if it falls there or below, it'll get sold. And since these were jumping down below, they would have triggered the stop-losses, and you would have gotten a very bad price for your ETF. There's another kind of order called a stop limit order, and it says you pick a price, and if it hits that price, we will sell it. If it jumps over that price, gets lower, it won't be sold. It will only sell at that value. So if it jumps down and it starts rising, you got one of two things to do. If it rises back up there, it's going to get sold. So you either want to cancel it or not, but you won't lose all that money, like the 30 or 40%. By using a stop loss order. So it's very technical. I honestly don't recommend any of these for ETFs. Never have, never will. They're so well diversified that it just doesn't make that much difference.
No, that's, in fact, that's one of the reasons you buy an ETF is that it is diversified within a sector or however, whatever style you choose. But it's not like owning an individual stock where you're subject to way more risk because it's just the one company that you're trading in.
All right, and speaking of market phenomena, we have something, have had something occur called the death cross, and it doesn't happen often. 10 times?
Yeah, roughly 10.
You want to tell the folks what that is, and better yet, what to do about it?
The death cross is when the, all right, I don't have it in front of me, but it's when the 50-day moving average crosses below the 200-day moving average of an index.
And it can only happen with a good setup where your 200-day average is kind of steady, steady, steady. It's just been humming along, range trading, which we've been doing for how many months now? Range trading. And then all of a sudden you get a sharp dip and the 50-day starts to fall. That death cross is thought by many to be a harbinger of doom. The statistics don't really pay any homage to that. What has happened on the 10 occasions before was that 6 months after the death cross occurs, 9 out of 10 times were positive for the next 6 months, on average about 8.3%. So there is one glitch in there in that the second month following the death cross is usually very volatile and down. But is it worth acting on when 4 months later you're up 8%? I think not.
No, you could really get burned by selling out really during that dip after the cross.
It sounds like a real horrible thing, the death cross, you know, something out of Darth Vader. It's just a sign of volatility working back into a market where there has been no volatility. You mentioned the volatility, the VIX jumping way up, and you can see it if you chart it. There's a symbol, there's an ETF symbol out there, UVXY, and if you want to see what the VIX is doing, all it measures is the volatility of the market. It's not unidirectional. I mean, market goes down, it goes up, market goes up, it goes up. It's just recording changes in value along the way in the market. So if you want to see something fairly interesting and you are a chart person, just go look at a chart of the S&P 500 and you'll see the double cross. But remember, it does not speak to gloom and doom as you might expect it to.
Yeah, and one thing to note, the UVXY is actually a double fund. But if you want to look at the individual, it's VVIX to look at the VIX. Yeah.
And another thing about it, it's the hardest thing to make money in ever.
Don't buy and hold it. It's a bad
idea.
No,
it seems to always contradict whatever it is you're thinking. I'm sure some people played it very well, but you're not talking to them right now.
Yeah, there was a day trader in Japan that made $34 million this week.
Jeez. Yeah, that's one of those you got to have money to make money, but you also got to be a little bit crazy.
Yeah, and you just have to have a nerves of steel, I guess.
And you have to live on your computer screen and be willing and able to act on a moment's notice. And folks, life's just too short. I wouldn't do that if I were you. In fact, speaking of money, I came across something. I'd been visiting my mom this week and kind of makes you think, you know. Read a thing that I tore out of a magazine a while back by a fellow named Mitch Anthony, and I've read it again this morning because I'd been thinking about these things. So 10 things, the distinctions between what money can and cannot buy. Number 10, money can buy a bed but not sleep. Money can buy books but not brains. Money can buy food but not appetite. Money can buy finery but not beauty. Money can buy a house but not a home. Money can buy medicine but not health. Big one. Money can buy luxuries, but not culture. Money can buy amusement, but not happiness. Money can buy companions, but not friends. Money can buy flattery, but not respect.
That's good.
How about that? There had been something else. Sarah read it this morning, too, and she said, that reminds me of something somebody else said. But I don't have a reference for it, but this fellow's name is Mitch Anthony, and he has written a book on retirement, which I have not read. But based on that, I might just have to go get it and read it because it looks good. Trivia question, how much money does the average 18-year-old male have put away for retirement? This is kind of scary, folks. It's just not enough, but I want it to the nearest $1,000. In 1979, the number of workers in this country that had pensions fell to about 40%. Today, it's fallen to about 10%. When the public no longer has a life income aside from Social Security, which is very dubious, as you all know, then you've got to take care of it yourself. And if you're 40 and don't have any more than the average, you better, how should I put this, get cracking, folks, because every year that goes by, and Adam and I were talking about this right before the show, they tend to decelerate in length, accelerate in terms of how quickly your next birthday comes. You look back on it, and all of a sudden, you're 8 or 10 years older than the last time you gave it much thought. And if you have spent that time accumulating money, especially in a dollar-cost averaging manner, you're going to be a lot better off than if you just wake up one day at 40 and say, I don't have much, and then you wake up the next day and you're 50 and you still don't have much. Nobody's going to help you out. All right, how much money to the nearest thousand does the average 40-year-old have? Trivia is brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. When we come back, I want to talk about something. Speaking of how fast 10 years goes by, I'm going to talk about something called the fair tax, which somehow, some way, all of a sudden became a 10-year-old concept since the book was published. And I realized the other day that there's so many people out there that are kind of new in the what's going on world that they probably don't understand what the fair tax is. And since I'm a big fan, I want to talk about it. So don't go away. We'll be back right after the break.
WBOB Jacksonville is
Bill Bennett.
This is Laura Ingram.
It's Glenn Beck.
Michael Savage.
Mark Levin.
AM 600 and FM 100.3. WBOB Jacksonville.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. There is word today that police in Houston have rounded up a person of suspect in the shooting death of a sheriff's deputy last night. CNN reported that a person of custody was, a person of interest was in custody a couple of hours ago. It has not been confirmed by other media outlets at this point. Also at SRNNews.com, Tropical Storm Erica is losing much of its punch, apparently dissipating even as it drenches Haiti and the Dominican Republic early today. That is on the island of Hispaniola, known for having a lot of mountain ranges, and that's taking a lot of the power out of that storm. But it has left devastation in its path before, killing at least 20 people and leaving another 31 missing on the small eastern Caribbean island of Dominica. Meanwhile, it's looking like the storm will be significantly weaker if it finally reaches the U.S. coastal areas on Florida and the Georgia coastline on Monday. This is SRN News.
There is at least one person in your life who has dedicated theirs to helping you walk a better path. That's your pastor. Friday, September 25th is the Pastor's Appreciation Luncheon, this year at Everbank Stadium. It's a free lunch, free gifts, a presentation by the president of Gordon-Conwell Seminary, Dr. Jim Hollinger, and best of all, lots of free appreciation. All pastors are invited and encouraged to attend. A free lunch at the Touchdown Club at Everbank? RSVP at WBOBradio.com.
We understand the stresses, and God knows I understand the stresses very well of the mom who has to work because there is no dad working. That's how I grew up. My mother had two jobs, so my grandmother was kept an eye on us. We had a family structure like many inner-city black families, the way my brother Bob and I grew up. You tuck here, and you fit there, and you do this, and each situation is its own story.
It's Bill Bennett's Morning in America, weekdays at 6, only on AM 600 and FM 100.3.
One in five Americans will be diagnosed with skin cancer in their lifetime. If skin cancer is detected early enough, it can be treated with a high degree of success. Advantage Dermatology is here to help. Their board-certified physicians and physician's assistants specialize in skin evaluation, cutaneous oncology, and Mohs micrographic and reconstructive surgery, which is performed in their dedicated surgical suites. Remember, the best offense is a good defense. Advantage Dermatology. Call 904-387-4991. Online at AdvantageDerm.com.
Tracking Erica. From the Storm Watch studios of WBOB.
It's 10:33. I'm Tom Murphy. Erica now has been downgraded to a low pressure system. 60% rain chance for Jacksonville today and a high of 90. Cloudy tonight. Rain occasionally down to 77. Tomorrow, a good chance of showers and storms. Mid-80s for a high, and it's 84 degrees right now.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back. Second half hour of the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we'll be here the whole time, and the lines are open. I remind everybody, if you want to talk about what you want to talk about, you have to call us, 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. This segment is sponsored by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. We live in Florida. Things grow and grow and grow. If you want it looking prettier and maintained, call Troy at 662-9794. Yeah, let's see. I had a comment I wanted to make, and I forgot, of course, what it is. So Adam has a little follow-up on some things, or a little more in-depth something or other.
I am missing something, but I can't remember what it was.
No problem.
Hey, I'm over 60.
Yeah,
it happens. I'm over 65 now.
It's a senior moment, if
it
you
is.
Will.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
I keep youth around me, by the way. I
wanted to talk a little bit about our day jobs, actually.
Horn tooting.
Yeah, we have an office. It's out at the beach. It's 1538 The Greensway in Jacksonville Beach, and it's right off of Butler Boulevard, the Marsh Landing Parkway exit. It couldn't be any easier to get to from all points of town. Just head east and exit at the second to last exit off of Butler. And if you want to find us online, you're going to have to know how to spell our name, last name, that is. It's Van Wee, VanWie, or for those in the military, Victor Alpha November Whiskey India Echo. So our website is www.vanweefinancial.com. We add lots of new content every week to our site, mainly in our blog, which you should check out. We post stories that we talk about on the radio and some that we don't, and it's pretty interesting, so check it out when you get a chance. And also, if you like the show, we have a little bit of good news this week. We got our podcast uploaded to iTunes, so if you're an Apple fan or an iTunes fan and you like to podcast and you miss a show, just go on to iTunes and search for us, and we'll come right up, and you can find all our latest shows listed online.
Uptown, huh?
Yeah, pretty nice. If you want to find us on Facebook, we're at www.facebook.com/VanWee Financial or Twitter at VanWee Financial. You can always email us if you're not one to call in to radio shows. It's info@VanWeeFinancial.com. Or if you want to call the office, 904-685-1505.
I have a confusion alert for everyone.
Is this another senior moment?
Nope. Well, not mine.
Someone's.
Yeah. I tell you all the time that now the talk shows aren't all created equally. The commercials aren't either. People advertise the strangest things. I was paying attention to one the other day. It hit me so hard I had to write it down. One of these things, it's one of these fully funded life insurance guys. You've heard them all over the place. He says, your money grows tax deferred. There's no tax at retirement. And there's no tax at death. My question is, deferred until when?
I have no idea.
No. Isn't that strange, folks? You have this wonderful investment out there, according to him, where you can put money away and it grows tax deferred and you never have to pay taxes on it. And I just kind of left scratching my head saying, I've heard dumb commercials and I've heard dumber commercials, but this one, my personal favorite. And of course, I can't write to him because he'd find out who I am and what I'm doing. But if anybody ever wants to follow up on that and call the show and tell us, wouldn't bother me. How's that? All right. 10 years ago, former radio show talk show host Neil Bortz and former Congressman John Linder wrote a book about the fair tax. And the fair tax has been studied probably more than any other tax concept in the history of the world. Since it's been so long, and there have been so many discussions about so many taxation, you hear the Steve Forbes flat tax, and a lot of other people are pro-flat tax. Russia has one, and on. This is different. The first thing that I want to make clear is that when I talk about the fair tax, I'm not talking about a tax that is fair. I'm talking about a very specific proposal. It's one word, capital F, capital T, fair tax. The fair tax taxes consumption rather than income. I'm not sure who the brilliant person was that invented the concept of taxing income back in the 16th Amendment. But what started out to be just a little nitpicky thing for a few really rich people has grown into the behemoth that we all know, fear, dread, on. I just filed my 2014 income taxes. I get an automatic extension every year, which I recommend to almost everyone, partly because if you want your CPA to just love you to death, just call her or him and say, why don't you just do an extension? Call them about, late March, early April, and you'll probably get a thank you card. They get a little busy toward the end of this thing. Anyway,
The automatic extension of Form 4868 extends your filing date to October 15th, and there are very good reasons that you might want to do it aside from just pleasing your CPA. One of them is I want my CPA to pay attention to my tax return so that it can be the best it can be. And that means not only accurate, but I don't want to pay a penny more than I am legally obligated to pay. If they can take the time to do it right, I think it works very well for everybody. You know the term GEICO? We all do. Garbage in, garbage out. If you are hurrying and your tax preparer is hurrying, I do not think you will get the maximum completeness and accuracy, and you probably won't pay the lowest legal amount. Extending the return also has one major downside. You owe, by April 15th, all the money that you owed for last year. It is up to you to figure out how much that will be and to send it in with your extension or prior to your extension. I personally use an Excel program that I've developed over the years that pays attention to my type of financial life, I guess, and it's become accurate enough that if I just go over a little bit, I never get myself in trouble. You can do it on TurboTax or other online service, too, where you take last year's, enter it in there, and put in any changes you expect for this year. It'll tell you exactly what's going to happen.
Bankrate.com has a really good one, too.
Oh, good. Okay. And anyway, it if you get this thing about right and you're over a little bit, you're not making a great big tax-free loan to the government, especially if you're like me and you pay quarterly estimates. You just, as soon as you get the return done, you tack that one onto the next quarterly estimate, and all of a sudden there's no loan been made to the government anymore. Gotta love it. Other valid reasons involve accuracy, especially if you have retirement accounts and especially if you have rolled over an IRA or a 401k, because that will result in you receiving a 1099 not too long after the first of the year, because that's the law. But what if you do a rollover, a legal rollover, meaning it's done within 60 days. Well, that means that the money you rolled over is not taxable. But you have a 1099, and the government has it in their hand, and they're going to say, hey, you have this income that is not showing on your return because the form that offsets that, which is called a 5498, is only mandated by the same government that does all this stuff to be produced by May 31st. So, April 15th comes, you file, a little while later you get the 5498. Nothing wrong with it, perfectly legal, all of that, but you leave yourself wide open to having the IRS ask you a question, and I don't know how you feel, but I know how I feel. When I go to the mailbox and I see the envelope with the IRS logo on the upper left, it's not a good day, even if it's just informational, as I had one this week, just says, we're not going to decide just yet. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks. Fine. But if you get the 5498 before you file, you put them in together, and all of a sudden, you've got no question anymore as to what happened. So just a really, really good thing to remember. All right, there's more to this, and we'll carry on. I got a little bit more before we actually go to break. Can't believe three-quarters of the show is gone already. Questioning we did, you may get revised 1099s. Due to the complexity of the qualified dividend rule, I almost always get a revised 1099 after the first one comes out from Schwab or whoever you deal with. That can result in having to refile your return, a 1040X or whatever, and that's just added expense. If you are patient enough to wait a long time, this will not happen. If you want to file quickly because you're getting a lot of money back, change your withholding, people. There is no reason that I can think of, if there's anything strange that has gone on over the year, to file by April 15th. I'm going to carry this on in just a second. Don't go away. We will be right back.
So you need to find a plumber to replace your water heater. The question is, where are you going to look? Phone book? That got tossed in the recycling bin as soon as it hit your doorstep. Web search? Not unless you feel like sorting through an endless list of search results. And you're certainly not going to pay a subscription fee to get access to some list. What you need is someone to refer a local pro you can trust. What you need is home.homeadvisor.com. Home.homeadvisor.com gives you free access to a network of over 85,000 background check service professionals who have the expertise to help you with all your home repair and remodeling needs. It's the fast, free, and easy way to find top-rated local pros who've been rated and reviewed by homeowners like you. That's why over 25 million homeowners have trusted Home Advisor to find the quality home improvement professionals they're looking for. It's why you can, too. Visit home.homeadvisor.com to find the service pros who can bring your home improvement dreams to reality. That's home.homeadvisor.com.
Feels like time's running out. You're maxed out on your credit cards. The collection calls are coming every day, and you're two payments behind on your mortgage. It seems like every time you turn on the radio, some cheerful couple's telling you how they got out of debt for pennies on the dollar. No more stress and everything is just wonderful. Come on. The truth is that what sounds too good to be true is too good to be true. You need help and you need it now. Not bankruptcy. That should be your last choice. We're Credit Card Relief, and we've been helping people just like you for nearly a decade. We're the attorney-driven program dedicated to helping you get out of debt in months instead of years, all while saving you thousands, and without risking your family home. We know what we're doing, and we don't make promises we can't keep. Call Credit Card Relief right now at 866-580-9999. 866-580-9999. The consultation is free, and the relief is real. 866-580-9999.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the final segment of the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And lines are open, 222-TALK. If you want to get a stab at the trivia question, which is to the nearest $1,000, how much does the average 40-year-old American male have put away toward retirement? Or any other questions, financial or otherwise, that might be of interest to you, just give us a call. I've been talking about the fair tax and the concept of the whole idea of taxing consumption. It's kind of unbelievable how simple it is and how much sense it makes. And the only way I really wrapped my brain around it was when the book came out. I ordered one from Amazon on the pre-order. The day it came, I read it cover to cover, set it down, picked it up the next day and read it cover to cover again. They also subsequently wrote a book called Answering the Questions about the Fair Tax, because it is pretty easy to demagogue it if you don't have any idea what you're talking about. And then since then, I've looked back into the book many times to answer my own questions. I highly recommend you get it. They hide it in the bookstore under the name The Fair Tax Book. And it's right there on Amazon. I checked it out a couple days ago. You can still get them. And if you read it, I guarantee you, you'll be impressed. It was more or less invented by a group of people in Texas that got together and said, there's got to be a better way. And they started out by looking at the whole concept of not taxing your income, but rather taxing your consumption. And one of the things they found was the price of things that you buy is largely made up of taxes. I always like to use the example of an automobile. Think of all the people who made money before that automobile was sold to you. The people who made the tires, people who made the rims, people who made the glass, wiring harnesses. Every component of those cars is made by someone who sells it at a profit, hopefully, in our capitalistic system. And there is something in the 20% range of all those components built into the price of whatever you buy that made up the taxes that the people paid for the labor that they put into making this thing. Same thing if you're a physician or an attorney or whatever. When you charge X number of dollars per visit or per hour or whatever, you take that money, and off the top of that comes your tax rate. So it's built into your pricing. So what would happen if we didn't tax that income? Well, you'd make a lot more money, unless somebody took it away from you, but you'd make a lot more money. And in fact, under the fair tax, you get 100% of your paycheck every week. Then you go out and buy things. Now, the way the fair tax works, they embed 23% into the cost of everything in return for you not having to pay any income taxes on any stage of whatever it is you're buying. Goods or services don't matter one little bit. So you've got a much less expensive product or service. You then embed 23% into that price by dividing by 0.77, and you get a price that's almost exactly what that price was before the fair tax went into effect. But now you have your whole paycheck to buy things with. That sounds pretty good to me.
Sounds like getting a raise, sort of.
There are complaints of regressiveness in this, in that poor people will have to pay the same rate as the richer people. Not exactly true, because built into the fair tax is something called a prebate. That prebate goes according to your family size. Every person in this country, every family in this country, gets a prebate every month, which will offset all the fair taxes on the basic necessities of life. And that's all calculated by the same people who calculate those things right now. And if you live in a state with a sales tax, you know that the states are the collection agency for sales tax. Well, it's going to work the same way under this one for all states, whether or not they have a sales tax. Well, how does that work? Well, there are departments in every state, because states have to collect things like excise taxes and remit them to the federal government. The states are reimbursed for what they do by 0.25% being held back for the state to pay their administrative overhead. So they make out like a bandito also. So what you see is a big paycheck and a prebate and a bunch of goods and services that are the same price they used to be. And you go out and buy them. April 15th comes, nothing. No worry, no headache, no IRS. S-25 and H-R-25, the House and Senate bills that are the fair tax, have some things in them that are absolutely remarkable. One of the complaints, people, well, if they put a consumption tax on, they're going to keep the income tax too, and they'll have both. Well, both of the bills say it takes effect January 1, concurrent with or following the repeal of the 16th Amendment. There is no chance to do both under the system as it's written. Nice, getting better. The concept of consumption tax to me is not regressive. It is very progressive. It only applies to new things. And the more expensive and more quantity of new things that someone buys, the more fair tax they pay. If you don't want to pay it, buy something used. If you want to pay it, go ahead. If you want to save money, you save 100%, and there's no penalty for doing so. There is no excise tax. You do not lose 7.5% of your paycheck to Social Security. Your employer does not add another 7.15% to that paycheck. You can actually make all the money that you can make, and it's yours. There is no withholding for federal taxes, because there aren't any. Social Security is paid to you according to what you earn. It's the one thing you have to report to the government. How much money did I make last year? The same people then keep track of that, and when it comes time that you want to file for Social Security, you do exactly that. But you're not paying income tax along the way. You're not filing returns. You know, there's only one department of the federal government where you have the burden of proof. You are guilty until you prove that you're innocent. Did you know there's an entire court system that it just runs beside the regular court system? It's all devoted to taxes, the U.S. Tax Court. These people can ruin you. They can take your money. They can take your life. They can take your freedom. No more. It all goes away. The questions that people have are normally the easiest things in the world to answer, but only if you understand it. There are fair tax groups all over the place. I strongly support them. I have given speeches at some of the local ones. And as people understand it, they start to love it. If you're worried about your CPA, I'm here to tell you that someone with that kind of education and that kind of ability will not have trouble making a living when they no longer have to do personal or corporate income tax returns. They will find a lot of productive uses for their time and talent. Did you know that most big companies have on-site IRS agents? If you went to a Honeywell or a GE or somebody like that and went to the corporate headquarters, there's a whole section full of IRS agents in the offices day to day. Guess who gets to pay for the overhead? We do when we buy the products that these companies produce. Why should that be? I argue that it shouldn't be. There are some politicians who are very much pro fair tax, Huckabee being the one that is probably the most vocal about this thing. Herman Cain, always very vocal about it. I would listen to them and see what the differences are between them and some of the other ones. Maybe we can get some of these other people on board. I'm not sure. Now, as a baby boomer, I carry some guilt, and I think our whole generation does. We did what our parents wanted us to do, and that was to get educated, start families, get jobs, build up some savings, and live good lives and all those things. But along the way, we got really busy. And when you get really busy, you can't pay attention to everything. Our generation has lost track of politics. We had a chance to get term limits so we could get some fresh faces in there. We didn't take it. So now we've got the same old people, career politicians, doing the same old thing the same old way. That's what gives us the John Boehners and Mitch McConnells of the world that aren't helping us. 70% of the people in the country do not think that congressional policy is assisting their life in any way, shape, or form, and they are exactly right. The problem, as I see it, with the people in this country and the fair tax is not with the ones that don't believe in it. They can be educated. The problem is the people who love it. And you hear over and over, oh, but we can never get it done in our lifetime. Well, that's becoming part of the problem, not part of the solution. If you want to read about this, I recommend you get the book. I'm going to be talking about it on and off. It's a very complicated thing. I'm very, very conversant in the fair tax. You can call the show and ask anything you want. I will either have the answer or I'll get it for you by next time. That's the truth. We need to give something to the next generation to leave the world better than we took it over from our parents. This is one way that we could devolve power from Washington, simplify our own lives, take that fear out of April every year, live a better, more productive life, and it's simple. Yeah, there's a transition in it. I'll talk about that next week too, but it's a one-time transition, and once it's done, it's over and we don't have to do it anymore. So think about it, get the book, read it, call us, the Fair Tax Book. Well, hard to believe it's that time already. The average 40-year-old male in America has saved $18,000, a little less than that actually, but that's the nearest thousand. With only 10% of workers having pensions, folks, we have got to get the young people involved. If you have kids, if you are a young person or whatever, please get involved. Listen to the show, call us, and know that we're here. Bye.